All right, I'm going to make up some time here. My name is Glenn Adams. I'm a surveyor for Sargent Corporation. I live in Oakland, Maine, and tonight I'm going to be expressing the views of employees of Sargent Corporation. I'm a lifelong resident of Maine and an avid outdoorsman. I've worked on many wind power projects in the past. This evening, I'm acting on behalf of the 300-plus Maine employees at Sargent Corporation. All are hardworking, tax-paying, voting individuals, and due to the project locations where they're at, they couldn't be here tonight. They all support this project, and I'm here to reflect that. Recently, times have been tough, and some employees have only recently been called back from layoffs. This project would aid 10 to 20% of our workforce by paying their salaries for the duration of the project. Fortunately, TransCanada have proven themselves as an owner who pay their bills and approve of our safety commitment. Personally, I have spent nearly a year on Kibby Mountain and Kibby Range and probably have walked more miles than just about anyone on the mountains. I still believe it to be a beautiful place. This spring, I've spent more than 120 hours working on road redesigns and ways to lessen the impact on this site. All these are possible by using TransCanada's toolbox approach of field-based construction. Thank you, and please hear 300 calls of support for this project as proposed.
Chris?
My name is Chris Beach. I'm from Wilton, Maine. I'm here representing the High Peaks Alliance. I'm one of seven directors. We are a nonprofit corporation. We've been serving as a grassroots organization in this area and have never been offered significant donation as we were recently by TransCanada. And that's helped us understand that we need to communicate with the IRS and get our 501c3 in, and we will have that, I think, completed by the time your permitting process is determined. I'm here to explain why the High Peaks Alliance is very appreciative of this contribution to us from TransCanada. My organization has not taken a position for or against this project, so we're in a similar situation as the Arnold Historical Organization was as well in that regard. So the High Peaks Alliance is a grassroots organization dedicated to providing a local voice in land conservation, outdoor recreation, and recreation trails decision-making in the High Peaks region of Franklin County. We're in the High Peaks region right here. Our area, we consider it to range from Eustis in the north to Phillips and Strong area in the south, Rangeley to the west, and Carabasset and Kingfield to the east. That's the High Peaks. Our directors include landowners, hikers, snowmobile riders, hunters, registered guides, ATV riders, backcountry skiers, and other local people who are working together for permanent conservation of working forest lands and continued public access to them for recreation purposes. We are working especially hard to overcome past trail routes difficulties between motorized and non-motorized groups. You heard Alan Stearns testify earlier to how our ideas are hopefully being well received in trying to address some of these, you know, very difficult issues that have existed in the past. And that's a focus of this particular project that we would use this money for. We are pleased that the significance of our work is now being recognized and supported by a wide variety of individuals and organizations, including TransCanada. TransCanada has pledged to contribute $150,000 toward establishment of new regional connections for the recreation trail systems of the High Peaks area. There are five organized trail systems in this area, in the backcountry. I'm not talking about Saddleback or Sugarloaf established resorts, but the backcountry systems that use both public and private lands. The High Peaks Alliance is working with private and public landowners and with all local trail groups to establish permanent trail routes connecting the towns of Phillips, Rangeley, Eustis, Carabasset Valley, and Kingfield via the nearby plantations and unorganized townships. We're well aware of your zoning maps and your own regulations of where trails go, and we use those as part of our planning process. This generous contribution from TransCanada will be applied to land acquisitions, facilitating permanent trail corridors for hikers, snowmobile riders, cross-country skiers, ATV riders, mountain bikers, and other trail users. And I have this in written form with all seven directors signing this, which I'll turn over right now. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Milton, you're next.
Good evening, Madam Chair, Commissioner Carroll, other members of the Land Use Regulatory Commission. My name is Milton McBriarty. I'm a resident of Bangor, Maine, and I am the Director of Renewable Energies for Larkin Enterprises. As I was also a member of the Governor's Wind Power Task Force, as several other people in this room that I recognize. The members of the task force worked tirelessly to develop policies that were thoughtful, meaningful, and timely, given the need and desire to develop additional wind power in the state of Maine. After recently attending TransCanada's celebration of the startup of the Kibbe project last fall and seeing how well it fits into the working forest landscape, I am enthusiastic about the potential for an expansion at CISC. The project at CISC appears to be a perfect example of why we developed the expedited area process to begin with. CISC is in very close proximity to the Kibbe project, a permitted and successful project. Given that TransCanada will be completing the remainder of the Kibbe project this year, the expansion to CISC makes all the sense in the world. Workforce and construction efficiencies can be taken advantage of. Those currently employed on Kibbe will be able to stay in the area, providing much-needed revenue for both the workforce and the nearby community. Obviously, when the task force recommended an expedited zone and the legislature enacted it in emergency fashion, the idea was to use the new law to create new wind power generation at an accelerated pace. I believe the CISC project fits perfectly with the task force goals, along with the legislative goal of 2,000 megawatts wind power by 2015. I hope the commission will support this important and reasonable project. And in closing, I would like to add that Larkin Enterprises has an internship agreement with Northern Maine Community College, and they have an associate degree for wind turbine technicians. We will be employing six of those technicians as interns on our project out here this summer. And if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is Jeff Brickley still here?
Yes, I am.
All right. You're next then.
Okay.
And then after Jeff is Kate. And then if you don't mind, I can rattle off the other next five names.
Go ahead.
Seth Westcott, John Rizzo, Jeremy Jones, Larry Warren, and Dick Smith.
Good evening. My name is Jeff Brickley. I am the owner of the Stratton Plaza in Stratton. Also a member of the Friends of People Who Like to Have Jobs. Oh, just kidding about that. But seriously, the Kibbe Project has been a tremendous help in our area. In an economic climate where so many businesses are closing doors or having trouble making ends meet, I know personally I've been able to make some much-needed improvements bring some things up to code and improve services to people of the town and visitors in the town. And a lot of that has solely to do with the Kibbe project that was going on, the amount of money that they were spending in the area, the different contractors that they were employing. I know of several other markets and businesses in the area who have been able to make a lot of improvements also, and they've told me due to the money that the Kibbe project and the construction workers are spending in the area. Right now, and it seems like the economy is in bad shape, and some of these projects I truly believe are a matter of the difference between surviving and keeping businesses going, keeping families living in this area, keeping schools open, and the difference between some of those things, businesses closing and people maybe having to move out of the area. So I think it's very, very important that we improve, or that the group approves projects like this and hopefully helps to keep stimulating the area with the money that they've been spending up here. I have an email prepared that I'm also going to mail in and follow up some of these comments here, but I'm sure some people want to get things moving along, so I'll be done taking your time, and thank you very much for allowing me to make these comments. Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kate, you're next.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Kate Punderson, and I have a prepared statement to give. I am a resident of Carabasset Valley, and I work at Carabasset Valley Academy as Director of Development and Finance, and tonight I'm here representing my personal views in support of the expansion of the Kibbe project on Sisk Mountain. I grew up on Sugarloaf. My husband and I are raising our son here, and my roots are deep in the area. My parents were very involved in the development of the Sugarloaf Ski Resort and have owned and operated several local businesses over the years. From an economic standpoint, the Kibbe Wind Project has been instrumental in maintaining the local economy during these turbulent times. To date, the Kibbe Project has contributed over $6 million to Franklin County through lodging, restaurants, support for local educational and community projects, and with temporary and permanent good-paying jobs. This number will continue to grow as the Kibbe Project is hopefully expanded. The possibility of extending that time of economic growth and support is exciting and necessary for the residents of Franklin County. Environmentally, wind power makes sense. It is my understanding that the expansion of the Kibbe project onto Sisk will have minimal ecological effects on the area. TransCanada has taken great care thus far in restoring all of the areas used in construction with indigenous material and follows the LURC and other state and federal environmental guidelines to the letter. The key regulatory process for the original project was reviewed by you, state agencies that included the Maine Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife, the Maine Department of Environmental Protection, Maine Historic Preservation Commission, and the state soil scientists were involved in this review process. Federal agencies such as the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services and the Federal Aviation Administration have also been involved in reviewing the project thus far and will continue to be consulted with the expansion should it be approved. The project continuously undergoes rigorous reviews that balances a broad range of issues to ensure that the Kibbe Wind Project provides a clean, renewable energy source with minimal impacts on the surrounding community and environment. TransCanada has done what they have promised to do. In fact, they have put aside more land for permanent conservation than they will use for the entire Kibbe project. I believe there is tremendous benefit of wind power. It is sustainable and clean. Wind power generation produces zero carbon dioxide emissions, which is important with our concern of global warming. The economy in Western Maine is based on seasonal tourism and relies on a generous snowfall. As responsible local citizens, we must support TransCanada as they continue to do business and support our local economy. They have proven to be honest business partners and neighbors with solid integrity. As responsible global citizens, we must support this form of environmentally clean renewable energy. We must support the expansion of the Kibbe Wind Farm onto Sisk, and I thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Seth, you're next.
Hello. My name is Seth Westcott. I'm a resident of Carabasset and a business owner here in Carabasset. I come before you tonight just kind of on two different platforms. One is a business owner here locally, having seen the influx of the financial help to this area that we experienced during the construction project of the first wave. I know for us personally, it was a huge contribution, and to many of the local businesses, it was huge literally to keep the doors of some of them open. As an individual here, I'm 33 years old. I've made my living since I was 17 off of the winter and off of snow being on the ground, and global warming to me is a major concern. Over the last 8 years, I've spent extensive time in the state of Alaska and have been impacted profoundly in two different ways. One, in seeing the dramatic recession of glaciers in areas that I go back to year after year and how quickly that process of global warming is happening. And the other was shortly after the Olympics in 2006, I was approached by a number of members, tribal elders of the Eyak Nation of Prince William Sound that were harshly affected by the Valdez oil spill and were preparing for a visit to Congress in 2006 because Exxon, from the time that the oil spill in 1989 happened, had kept them from seeing the process had not been rectified from 1989 to 2006. And getting to sit down and speak with these people whose entire way of life in the fishing industry in Prince William Sound had been completely wiped out, and seeing the devastation of them, and then witnessing what we in the lower 48 are going to go through in that same fallout from the oil spill in the Gulf right now. It's going to affect a lot more people in the Gulf than it did in Alaska, and it's going to be that much more devastating. To me, being able to support something in our state that moves us a little closer to being environmentally responsible and creating energy in ways that isn't going to destroy the planet is something that I'm here to support. I know that a lot of people don't like to see things in their backyard. We do have a beautiful resource here in the Western Mountains of Maine. To me, it makes me feel good that we in our state are taking an environmental stance and moving towards renewable, clean energy. And to me, it's a beautiful thing to see those spinning up there. So thank you.
Thank you.
John, you're next.
Good evening. My name is John Rizzo, and I'm a resident of Kingfield. I'm the headmaster of Carabasset Valley Academy. Tonight, I represent my own personal views and speak to you as a private citizen. And I think as I sat here and listened, I realized probably a poorly informed and very confused private citizen, but I think that's more reason to speak in that I've lived in Kingfield for 25 years. I've had the very good fortune of having steady employment in Kingfield for 25 years. And I can listen to people say that the wind project will produce power, maybe help reduce costs, or maybe it won't. I'm going to leave that to smarter people that know more than I do. But I sit and watch television, and I'm horrified by the oil spill in the Gulf. I have no idea what that's going to do. I also saw the panicked look on people's faces when the prices were going up to $4 and $5 a gallon for oil and electricity. And if that had continued, I don't know what most of the people who lived up here would have done. So how we get cheaper energy, I don't know. I just think we have to really explore alternatives. I think I've been up to the wind project twice, and I'm someone like Seth who has made a, and that's humbling to, believe me, I'm not comparing myself to that, but who really depends on the mountains for a living, and the natural beauty is really important to me as well. But I also, like what Seth said, really believe someone has to have something in their backyard. And what's going to be the safest thing that we can do that's going to produce energy? And I think that from what I've seen, I think that this project really needs serious consideration. I can't say one way or the other whether it's the best or the worst thing to do. I think it's something that we can do. I think it's something that we can do in the state of Maine. I think it's something that we can do in our own backyard to help produce energy. And I just know that we have got to do something. So for that, I just want to say that I think this project really deserves very serious consideration. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Jeremy, you're next.
My name is Wendy D'Arienzo, and I'm a resident of Stratton and a employee of Carabasset Valley Academy, and I have the privilege of saying a statement for Jeremy Jones this evening on his behalf. Jeremy Jones is a resident of Truckee, California, where he lives with his wife and his daughter. He was born in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and grew up in Vermont, Massachusetts, and Maine. His credentials are he is a Carabasset Valley Academy class of 1993. He is 8-time Snowboarder Magazine Big Mountain Rider of the Year. On January 27, 2010, Jeremy, who is also the founder of the environmental advocacy group Protect Our Winters, joined a coalition of scientists, environmentalists, and activists in Washington, D.C. to present a film called Generations, which documents the impact of climate change on resort economies. Jeremy travels the globe from interior Alaska to Antarctica, much like Seth, and in search of remote areas to do his filming. What Jeremy does now is made a commitment to hike and camp and hike some more to reach these remote areas rather than using fossil fuel to transport him. He lives certainly what he teaches. Jeremy has asked me to read the following statement on his behalf. I've been a snowboarder for 25 years and traveling around the world for 15 years and seen definitive change in these mountains. For the first time, we have the ability to pass the climate bill, which has regulated definitive carbon reduction. Beyond the athlete stories and the gold medal glory of the Olympics, a major story from Vancouver was the warm weather and the lack of snow. Not just an ironically timed anomaly, decreasing snowfall and above average temperatures have in recent years been a plague on our winter resorts and the $6 billion ski industry. Climate change is a serious issue for all of us who are passionate about our winter sports, and in some cases, it's how we make our living. If we harness our collective energy and put forth a focused effort, we can have a direct influence on reversing the damage that has been done and ensure that our winters are here for generations behind us. First and foremost, wind is inherently one of the cleanest resources of power available. It does not contribute to global warming, nor does it produce any form of harmful waste. This means if we use wind power for more of our energy needs, we would be doing the Earth a very big favor. This is through not only the reduction of the amount of carbon dioxide produced, but also of sulfur dioxide, which raises the acidity of the moisture of the air, causing acid rain. Wind turbines also do not require the use of renewable energy fuels such as coal, as wind energy is generated by the Earth's heating and cooling each day due to the sun. Add to all of this the fact that wind farms require very small amounts of land and can be integrated into other uses. They are extremely environmentally friendly energy sources. TransCanada has been recognized for the fourth consecutive year as one of the global 100 most sustainable corporations. The program ranks companies from around the world based on their environmental record, corporate government practices, human resource management, and their other relationships with community and other stakeholders. TransCanada is one of only 9 Canadian companies named the Global 100. So far, the Kibby Wind Project has undergone rigorous review that balances a broad range of issues to ensure that the Kibby Wind Power Project provides a clean, renewable energy resource with minimal impacts to the surrounding community and environment. No doubt that the environment is temporarily disrupted. However, it is painstakingly replaced under strict supervision and guidelines. Economic benefits are extremely important to this area. With over $6 million spent in Franklin County, the benefits, long and short term, to the local economy are clear. In the economic environment of today, sustainable work with global beneficial energy producing projects creates a win-win situation. TransCanada has purchased and donated more land for conservation that it will be using for the project as a whole. This fact alone exemplifies their commitment to clean, sustainable energy and to the local environment and the community that they develop in. Protect Our Winters was formed in 2007 to unite winter snow sport community in the fight against climate change. It is our collective responsibility to protect our mountains from the effects of climate change, but also to guard our mountain communities from the economic fallout of a shortened winter. Winter fuels our passions, but it also fuels our lives of thousands of individuals who depend on the annual tourism and recreation for their livelihoods. So while we see climate change as a scientific phenomenon, when we look at the cost of inaction, it's serious business. To us, climate change is a threat to our local economies, our jobs, and the vitality of our unique mountain communities that draw millions of tourists each year who shop in our stores, ride our lifts, eat our restaurants, and support thousands of small businesses. Please support the Kibby Wind Farm in Western Maine. Thank you for your time.
Wendy, would you spell your last name for me slowly?
D A R I E N Z Z O.
Thank you. Okay, Larry. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Larry, you're next.
Chairman Hilton, members of the commission, my name is Larry Warren. I live in New Portland, Maine. I'm here representing myself. However, I've been the founder of Maine Huts and Trails, which is building a hut and trail system through Western Maine. I'm a partner and founding partner in a wind farm development company called Maine Wind LLC. And I've been involved recently in legislation initiatives on trying to recognize the significant impact that these wind projects have, particularly in the unorganized territories and in western and rural Maine. I supported the Kibby project, I support the CISC project, and I supported Kibby's application for TIF in Franklin County. The reason for my support for that TIF is that the valuation of the unorganized territories in Franklin County prior to the development of the Kibby project was $180 million. After the development of the Kibby project, it's $500 million. If this project is approved, the valuation of the unorganized territories in Franklin County will be $600 million. The amount of revenue that's necessary to operate the unorganized territories in Franklin County does not significantly change. And as a consequence, with this huge increase in tax valuation, the consequential results is that the REITs, TIMOs, ERISA-based investment companies, foreign national corporations, and high net worth individuals who own the kingdom lots in the unorganized territories become significantly the major tangible beneficiaries of wind. To recognize that situation, I notified my senator, who's Senator Peter Mills, and we investigated opportunities to change the taxation policies in the state from a property tax base to a energy sales tax base. It didn't fly. We worked closely with a number of legislators to see if we can move this forward. But as a consequence, LD 1504 went through this last year, which basically provides tangible benefit policies in recognition for the contribution that wind energy can make and should make to the residents in the communities in western and northern Maine. I'm particularly pleased to see that TransCanada has continued its policy of endowing significant tangible benefits to nonprofit corporations and municipalities in this region that can support the organizations and the people who make the unorganized territories a viable place. I think there's been much discussion about gateway communities, about the educational institutions that are supported by organized towns, for the most part. The organized territories and the towns and the plantations in Franklin County pay a mill rate of somewhere between 18 and 25 mills. The TIF that was created by Franklin County basically left the mill rate in the unorganized here in Franklin County at 8. Given the government's objective of increasing wind to 3,000 megawatts by 2020, that can add over $7 billion to the valuations of the unorganized territories throughout the state. And again, if there was not a significant change, what it does is it dilutes the mill rate. I feel that the beneficiaries here in the communities and the residents here are well served by TransCanada. I applaud TransCanada's actions and activities, particularly in the lack with the lack of a tangible benefits policy up until very recently. They've stepped out of the box and basically allocated approximately 1% of the cost of these projects for local benefits. What will follow, I think, will be even more significant. And this particular company has been exemplary in terms of taking leadership role in Franklin County and in this region. For that reason, I urge that you approve this project, in addition to all the other arguments that have been made in terms of the renewable energy systems and the opportunities for Maine people to grow and thrive and survive. Thank you.
Excuse me, Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Could you elaborate on the proposal that you and Senator Mills advanced with regard to LD 1504, I believe it was?
Well, 1504 was presented by Pete Dittesheim from the Natural Right. Resources Council of Maine. As a consequence of reviewing and being a participant in the TIF application in Franklin County, it became obvious and evident to me that this 3,000 megawatts of wind coming in largely to remote regions of the state, to a large degree in the unorganized territories, would have a significant dilutive effect of the mill rate in the unorganized territory. And I had suggested to Peter Senator Mills, that we investigate opportunities to eliminate wind farms from the property tax, and proposed that instead of a property tax-based tax, that there be an excise tax on the electricity that was sold by wind farms into the market. Right now, one of the problems that is inherent in the unorganized territories, and it's been the opinion of the Attorney General's office, is that revenues that are created or assessed by a taxation authority can only be spent within that district. So what we explored was the opportunity of creating wind farm tax organizations that would include the unorganized territory within a county and the adjacent and abutting organized communities. Those communities would basically create the representation that would represent the TIF, or the taxation authority for the excise tax. And the benefits basically could be accrued and distributed both to the organized and the unorganized communities in that area. I listened carefully to John Simcoe's pleas for a way to assess new enterprise and new ways to keep the Greenville School alive. And also he made very strong arguments about the problems of Greenville in supporting the unorganized territories and not being recognized for it. I worked with the town manager in Millinocket also, and we introduced legislation that would recognize that regional trails that contribute to economic development of statewide significance should be eligible for TIF funds. That was approved. And so we were encouraged about the potential for this.
But the TIF, if I understand, the TIF funds from the trails would be shared with a municipality, right?
They can be. I mean, TIF funds could not be used for recreational development, right. Period. That was the opinion of the DECD.
Yeah.
So if, however, you had a hotel project to come in, or if Disney were to come in and to propose a recreational project, then it would be deemed economic development. But if a snowmobile club, an ATV club, or a nonprofit organization in the state of Maine wanted to develop the same types of projects, the DECD interpreted that not to be eligible for TIFs. We implored on the Department of Economic and Community Development that that made no sense. They agreed, so they changed that component of the law. Right now, LD 1504, although it mandates that there be a minimum standard of contribution made, because it's not a tax, it can be, my interpretation has been that it can be distributed and used regionally and shared, because it's not a tax that's assessed. It's a tangible benefit contribution that can be allocated to a region. The property tax still has those restrictions. So I think that, you know, the 3,000, if there are 2,000 or 3,000 megawatts of wind, as that grows and expands in particularly the unorganized territories, the problem or the misallocation will become obvious to the taxation committee, and I'm sure that they will be revisiting this in future legislative sessions.
Well, I don't think this is the place to get a long discussion about this, and I apologize, but do you see any implications for the way in which LURC might define tangible benefits that would have an impact on the issue you present?
I think LD 1504 has gone a long way towards helping to close that. your jurisdiction, for the most part, is in unorganized territories. There are some organized towns that you manage and oversee the planning for.
Right.
The Forks, the West Forks area, rather, those types of communities are, you know, lie right in the center of both an area of opportunity and an area of challenge. And I think that the 1504 pretty much closes the last open door to the expedited wind process that was approved. And I applaud what Pete Dittesheim was able to accomplish this last session, recognizing that there was a big hole in that donut. But
I hate to interrupt here, but our court reporter really needs a break.
And I apologize for it, but this is, I think, something that will impact what we do in terms of approval of expedited projects.
So be happy to work with you.
Thank you very much. I'd appreciate any submission you might want to make to the record in this instance, or just generally submit to LARC. I would thank you for that.
We'll do.
Your thoughts.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We need to call a break for our court reporter here. We'll be back in about 10 minutes. And do you want to call off the next five names? I know we still have Dick.
Yep. Dick Smith, you'll be up next. Vera Trafton. I'm not certain if Chris Parks wishes to testify, but I'll name the name. I don't think Jay Wyman wants to speak because he's already spoke. Adrian Rollo. And Dane Trafton. Thank you.